morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Vice Admiral Conrad Lautenbacher, U.S. Navy retired, Undersecretary of Commerce for Oceans and Atmosphere, and Administrator of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Good morning, Admiral.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
And joining us in our conversation also from IBM is Dion Rudnicki. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Admiral, let's begin by talking about NOAA and giving our listeners some context. Could you describe its history and how it fits into the Department of Commerce?
NOAA is a relatively new organization if you look at the history of the government. NOAA was formed by executive order in 1972, roughly. And so it's been a 30-year organization in the making. It has roots that go back to 1807 with the Coast and Geodetic Survey, begun as the first scientific agency of the U.S. government, put in place because people realized they needed to bring commerce in and out of our ports. They needed to have surveys of the harbors. They needed to have a property rights system where people could measure and determine who owned which piece of property. So you need to have a reference system. So this was kind of a basic, fundamental, the beginnings of commerce in the United States. And so it began with that Coast and Geodetic Survey, and now it includes fisheries, it includes solar science, it includes weather, it includes the coastal zone management, it includes research in all aspects of living and coastal resources on the oceans, along our coasts, and from the sun to the mud, as we say.
How do you think about the size of your organization? In particular, I'm interested in the team and the skills of the folks who you work with.
It's an extraordinarily educated, intellectual, skilled team of scientists. We have every type of scientific field of endeavor included in our portfolio of employees. And we're all over the country. So you look at some 13,000, roughly, employees. They are very, very skilled, very knowledgeable. A large percentage of them have advanced degrees, masters and PhDs, from meteorology to benthic biology.
Now, when you talked about the mission, you described research, and I couldn't help but think that research and science goes on a couple places in the government. NASA comes to mind, the National Science Foundation, just to name a few. How do you relate to them and also interact with them?
Both of those organizations are extremely important. We have partnerships with them, certainly in the scientific areas where we have mutual needs. First of all, NSF is the basic research organization of the United States. You can go to any college campus and knock on any door, and most people will come out and tell you the National Science Foundation is very important. They provide grants, they provide stipends, they provide the fundamental resource picture for many, many colleges and universities. And many of us, many of the people in my organization got their start by working on NSF grants and by being postdoctoral fellows and that sort of thing. So NSF, basic research. You think of NASA, you have to think of space science and research using satellites, building instruments, using those instruments to improve our understanding of the atmosphere and the Earth. So they have I don't want to call it a niche market, it's a rather large market, but it does deal with space. And they're applied. They have applied science. NOAA does applied science mostly in the field of in situ or on the Earth, in the ocean, in the atmosphere types of measuring devices. You put them together with NASA and you have a complete portfolio of ways in which we can improve our understanding of the Earth and using it for economic benefit.
Admiral, what is your role and responsibilities as the Undersecretary of Commerce for Oceans and Atmosphere and also as Administrator of NOAA?
It's an interesting situation. It's a double-hat position. When the agency was formed, obviously there was a discussion within the government as to where it belongs, and the word that came down was that commerce was a natural place for it to be. And you can think of other places where this agency might fit. But it is a natural in commerce. 30% of our GDP directly depends on the kinds of information that NOAA provides every day, from weather reports and hazardous storms to fisheries management and coastal zone management along our coasts. It is fundamental to the health of our economy, and it's also an environmental agency. So you have this direct connection, and it belongs in commerce as a piece of a broad portfolio of what makes our country wealthy and allows us to build the kind of society that people can be proud of.
And what were your previous experiences before being appointed as Undersecretary in December of 2001?
Well, I've had sort of an interesting career. I call myself sort of one-third naval officer, one-third scientist, and one-third bureaucrat. And I say that in a positive sense because I believe we do need people in Washington and in other government agencies to manage and to worry about the public's business. I spent 40 years in the United States Navy and worked my way through the system. I am a surface officer by trade for those people who are know the Navy a little bit. I drove destroyers, essentially. I have a PhD from Harvard University in applied mathematics and mostly in specializing in fluid dynamics. My PhD thesis was on the propagation of tsunamis, which has now become a popular topic, although it hasn't been up until now. It's fascinating how many people are interested in my background at this point. And in the Navy, I also worked with budget, finance, resource management, systems analysis. So I would spend time at sea, working in the oceans, on the oceans, in the atmosphere, and then come to Washington and work on how to manage this huge defense establishment that we have that's one of the best in the world and obviously very important for the United States security interests. And so I have that background of scientist, of managing money, and of being interested in managing large organizations and trying to achieve certain results, which is obviously an important part of my military background. I've also been the consultant in the private sector after I retired to defense industries. I've been working for primarily one company. I've also been the president of CORE, the Consortium for Oceanographic Research and Education, which is a group of the universities and aquaria of this nation that have come together to ensure that the public understands the value of our oceans. It includes institutions as well known as Woods Hole and Scripps and University of Washington from one coast to the other. It's a very, very interesting organization. I've also been the president of a couple of boards on private nonprofit organizations as I've gone through my career. So I have a sort of an interesting broad mix and background.
Well, given that diversity and background, how do you apply those experiences to your current job?
Well, I think there's a great need for the benefits and the mission that NOAA has in supporting the United States and supporting the world, and that, in fact, the challenges that we face in sustainable economic development and managing our environment are large-scale challenges. They must be managed at a government and international level. You cannot do it with two or three people on a postdoctoral thesis in one university examining one particular item for 2 months and then building a report. The issues of trying to deal with climate change, of trying to deal with ecosystem management of our fisheries, of trying to ensure that our coastal development makes sense, that we're not destroying the environment we're living in, but we're producing an economic benefit for people and doing it much more efficiently than we have in the past, requires large-scale actions. It requires not only NOAA working together, it requires the federal government working with regional governments, working with the private sector, and then amplify that onto the world scene. So there are huge challenges in managing large-scale operations in the environment and our economy.
Let me focus in on your description of management. As I heard you describe your career, I picked out your public service, your work in the private sector, and also a great deal of exposure to the academic community. I wonder if you can compare the different management styles across those three different sectors.
They are very different as you work from one to another. Let me say, first of all, there's a baseline of consistency, and that is human politics and human nature are the same in each one of those organizations. So if you're able to understand one, you can certainly understand another and work in that environment. But the factors that drive each one are obviously much different. In the private sector, for instance, there's pretty much and you can take issue with me, but there's usually a single mission to a company. They have a very directed purpose. We build computers, or we build cars, or we provide legal services, and they have a bureaucracy and a hierarchy that's dedicated to that one purpose. They have a board, and they have stockholders that are all focused on that one particular mission of that company. And so that makes it a little easier. When you go to government, we have 435 members who are on our board. They come from all parts of the United States. They all have different ideas of what our mission should look like, particularly in their areas and with respect to their needs. So you're serving a large variety of people and interests, and that makes it a challenge. You also have different personnel systems between the private and the public sectors. And those systems obviously are set up in the government side to ensure fairness to employees, that you cannot have political vendettas visited upon career personnel, and that there's a certain amount of security. In the private sector, there's more, what I would say, adherence to the purpose and mission of the organization. And people are very much directed towards that based on the board of directors. And I guess the final thing, I guess you talk about the nonprofit side and NGO side, that's a place where you need to be dedicated to your mission, but not expect to make a lot of money, because you're not going to do it.
That's an interesting comparison. Integration is a major theme within NOAA. What does this mean? Why is it important? We'll ask NOAA's Administrator, Admiral Conrad Lautenbacher, to explain this to us when the Business of Government Hour returns.